يحتسب ومن يتوكل على الله فهو حسبه إن الله بالغ أمره قد جعل الله لكل شيء قدرا.
And will provide for him from where he does not expect. And whoever relies upon Allah, then he is sufficient for him. Indeed, Allah will accomplish his purpose. Allah has already set for everything a decreed extent.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse is saying that Allah will provide him from sources that he could have never imagined, and whosoever puts his trust in Allah, he will suffice him. Thus, male and female witnesses are warned against entertaining fear of problems resulting from treading the path of truth, but they are enjoined to administer justice and invoke Allah Almighty for removing the impediments, since he guarantees that whoever puts his trust in him, he will be delivered from entanglements.
إلا باب الريان نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن.
On today's special, you know, what does it mean to be the guest of Allah in the month of Ramadan? It is our tradition to welcome the blessed month of Ramadan by discussing the sermon delivered by our beloved Prophet on the last Friday of Sha'ban. We'll listen to a part of it. O people, indeed ahead of you is the blessed month of Allah, a month of blessing, mercy of forgiveness, a month which with Allah is the best of month, its day the best of days, its nights the best of nights, and its hours the best of hours. It is the month which invites you to be the guest of Allah and invites you to be one of those near to Him. Each breath you take glorifies Him, your sleep is worship, your deeds are accepted, and your supplications are answered. What does it mean that this is the month where we are invited to be the guests of Almighty Allah? There are at least three angles to explore on this question. One is this: guests must prepare for a special reception. Number two, Allah is the most gracious host. And number three, capacity of the guest to receive.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The holy month of Ramadan is the month of invitation to God's feast. Ramadan is the month in which you should strengthen yourself. There is a tradition attributed to the noble messenger about informing the people of the advent of the blessed month of Ramadan. One of the phrases is, "You have been invited to God's feast." The difference between God's feast and people's feast is that when you go to a feast, you will have some items of food to eat and means of entertainment benefiting your status. But in God's feast, one part is to observe the feast, another important item, which is a spiritual meal from the unseen, is the Holy Quran. You have been invited to his feast. You are his guest in the month of Ramadan. Your host has compelled you to feast. Block those avenues that lie open to worldly considerations and lusts so that you are prepared for the Laylatul Qadr, when you want to go to a party, you do not go in your usual everyday dress. You normally dress up in another way and attend the party in a different manner. You modify your manners from what they might be when you are at home. Many thanks, dear listeners, for staying tuned. And let's pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepare us for that great feast of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum.
In the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Allah.
Be with IRIB English Radio, today's special.
Every day for 15 minutes.
This is today's special and special guests. And one important point about the month of Ramadan, special guests receive extra in this month. In the month of Ramadan, some people expect the blessings, mercy, kindness of Allah. There is no doubt about this. However, some guests have a greater capacity and will receive a greater amount. Indeed, we all expect from our heavenly host, Almighty Allah, to grant us a nice place in paradise and forgiveness of our sins. But some guests have a greater capacity to receive from the treasures of Allah, the Almighty. So the question to ask ourselves is, what do we want to achieve from the divine feast in this auspicious month of Ramadan?
أرجو رضاك يا الله أنت الرحيم يا الله هبني عطاك يا الله أنت الكريم منك العطاء يا الله أنت العظيم يا فيك الرجاء يا الله أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال
Food for thought.
Salam everybody, and may God accept your fast. Here is a saying from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, to help us abstain from undesirable acts during blessed Ramadan that may nullify the fast. A fasting person is in a state of worship even when asleep in bed, except when backbiting a fellow Muslim.
Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we would like to offer our congratulations to our esteemed listeners because today in many Islamic countries, today marks the first of the holy month of Ramadan, the month in which the Quran was revealed. It is the month in which we are obliged to fast, and also the month, in which is the month of repentance and the acceptance of, acts of worship. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful hadith, which is about the month of Ramadan. But first, let's turn to a verse of the Holy Quran in which the month of Ramadan has been mentioned. In the Holy Quran, we read the following. The month of Ramadan is the one in which the Quran was sent down as guidance to mankind. Right? So this is one of the first distinctions of the month of Ramadan. It's the month in which the Quran was sent down with manifest proofs of guidance and the distinguisher. So let those of you who witness it fast in it, and as for anyone who is sick or on a journey, let it be a similar number of other days. Allah desires ease for you, and He does not desire hardship for you. And so that you may complete the number and magnify Allah for guiding you, and that you may give thanks. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, regarding the reason why the month of Ramadan is called Ramadan, he says, verily, Ramadan has been thus named, innama summiya Ramadanu li'annahu yarmadu dhunuba. It has been thus named because it scorches away sins. This is a kind of an allusion to the name Ramadan and the Prophet Muhammad. He says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, and alludes to the fact that this has been derived from the Arabic root Ramadha, in which which kind of alludes to a scorching away of something, and Ramadan is so called. Has been named with this epithet and this designation because in this month, with our acts of worship, our fasts, and our recitations of the Holy Quran and whatnot, our sins are, they are scorched away, they are burned away, and no trace of them remains. So we hope and we pray for our esteemed listeners that they can make most of this blessed month. And that all of their acts of worship are accepted in this month. In another beautiful hadith, the Holy Prophet Muhammad has been reported to have said, if the servant were to fathom the worth of Ramadan, he would wish that the Ramadan lasted the whole year. This is how spiritually beneficial the month of Ramadan is. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the blessed month of Ramadan in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we are with Brother Fawad Haider, Ali Nasir, and Hassan Nasrullah. Salamun alaikum and welcome.
Alaikum assalam.
How are you, Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah.
Fine?
Great.
That's good. Fawad Haider, how are you doing?
Salam, sir. I'm fine. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. I'm good. I'm good. And Hassan Nasrullah?
Salam alaikum, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. How about you?
Fine, sir.
Good, good. So, Ali Nasir, Fawad, and Hassan, today, inshallah, we'll work on Ayah 37 of Surah Ali Imran. On page? Hassan, on page?
54.
So, brothers and sisters, please open your Quran if you have with you. Turn to page 54, Ayah 37. Yes?
Yes.
The last ayah in this page.
Yes.
Yeah? So, everybody, let's listen to the recitation.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Fataqabbalaha rabbuha biqabulin hasanin wa ambataha nabatan hasana. وكفلها زكريا كلما دخل عليها زكريا المحراب وجد عندها رزقا قال يا مريم أنى لك هذا قالت هو من عند الله إن الله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب.
Good job, nice recitation. I will read once. Make sure you carefully listen, okay? And repeat after me. All right? Brothers okay. and sisters, we really recommend you to practice, inshallah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
فتقبلها ربها بقبول حسن وأنبتها نباتا حسنا وكفلها زكريا
فتقبلها ربها بقبول حسن وأنبتها نباتا حسنا وكفلها زكريا
كلما دخل عليها زكريا المحراب وجد عندها رزقا
كلما دخل عليها زكريا المحراب وجد عندها رزقا
قال يا مريم أنى لك هذا قالت هو من عند الله
قال يا مريم أنى لك هذا قالت هو من عند الله
إن الله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب
إن الله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب
أحسنت ما شاء الله ما شاء الله الله bless you إن شاء الله. In the previous two verses we talked about the wife of Prophet Imran who dedicated her baby, her child to Allah Almighty. Yes, and like she said, قالت ربي إني نذرت لك ما في بطني محررا فتقبل مني. Yes, in this ayah Allah Almighty says like she was a bit worried because she thought that the baby is going to be a boy but it became a
daughter,
a son, okay, a boy, a girl. So she kind of, it seems like she was worried about this, that I do not achieve my goals, because she wanted her baby to serve in sanctuary. So, but Allah Almighty said, فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ. Allah Almighty accepted. Allah Almighty accepted, but how? بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ, the best way, beautifully. Yes, Allah Almighty accepted. So, Allah Almighty says, فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا. Thereupon, her Lord accepted her with a gracious acceptance. بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ. Not your name, okay? It's your name, okay? Your name is beautiful. Hassan, okay? I think he is so happy today. His name is... He found his name in the Quran. Yes, Hassan?
Yes.
He is really happy for this. Okay, good job.
Yes,
okay.
So hard.
بِقَبُولٍ حَسَن. With a gracious acceptance. وَأَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا. And made her grow up in a worthy fashion, okay? وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا. And what? And he charged Zakaria, Allah Almighty gave the responsibility of Lady Mary, okay, to Prophet Zakaria. كُلَّمَا دَخَلَ. Now Prophet Zakaria, whenever he was entering Lady Maryam, okay, what happened? Whenever Zakaria visited her, in the Lady Maryam, in the sanctuary, وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقًا. He would find provisions with her. رزق. Okay? Ma'ida. Ma'ida means, like, in Persian we say sufra, yes? Table.
Yeah.
Like, food. Okay? And those food, fruits, different seasonal fruits, okay, from the heaven. He would find. قَالَ يَا مَرْيَمْ. He said, O Mary, O Lady Maryam, أَنَّا لَكِ هَذَا. From where does this come from? To you. For you. قَالَتْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. She said, it comes from Allah Almighty. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah provides whomever He wishes without any reckoning. He gives anyone He wishes without, like, unlimited food, like a lot of blessings. He will bless us, okay?
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran?
الله حمتني غمرتني بالبركات تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات.
Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
غمرتني بالبركات تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات. قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني.
So guys, I want you to refer to the Tafsir book, inshallah. tafsir books, okay? For more explanations, we just mentioned the translation. And you now know Allah Almighty accepted the nadr, the dedication of the wife of Prophet Ibrahim, Imran alayhi salam. So, we talked about how we should be thinking of our babies, our children, okay, for the future, inshallah, that we should think all about their what? Huh? Their future in the best way, that we should ask Allah Almighty to help us be good parents for them and train them, okay, to serve Allah Almighty and the religion of Allah Almighty, and they should stay on the good path. Now we'll move on with the tajweed rules. I really want you to refer to the tafsir book, inshallah. The important tajweed rules that we mention here, please note them in case you can, and inshallah practice them. فَتَقَبَّلَهَا, the first thing to remember is the pronunciations of the letters. قَاف has a heavy sound. فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا رَا هَا حَا حَسَن أَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا كُلَّمَا دَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا زَكَرِيَّا الْمِحْرَابَ وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا عِنْدَهَا رِزْقًا قَالَ يَا مَرْيَمُ أَنَّا لَكِ هَذَا ذَلْ قَالَتْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهِ اللَّهِ لَامْ لَتَ لَامْ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ غَيْن. Okay? These letters are important. Now, the rest of the tajweed rules here. فَتَقَبَّلَهَا, ha has a light sound. فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا, right? Both light sound. Ha, ha, a sound. Not o sound. بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ. حَسَن has a tanween. Yes, Hasan?
Yes.
Hasan has a tanween. Do you have a tanween?
No.
Okay, the word Hasan here has a tanween. Plus waw, you should merge the sound. Hasan yu wa kaffalaha. Sorry. Wa anbataha. Noon has a tanween. But after noon with tanween, we have the letter ba. What do you do? Huh?
Iqlab.
Iqlab. Change the noon sound into a meme, hidden meme sound. أَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا. نَبَاتًا تَنْوِين. حَسَنًا starts with ha is from the throat letters, and you don't need to do anything. Just read it normally. نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا. حَسَنًا تَنْوِين. Again, well, merge idgham. Yes? حَسَنًا وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا. Fawad, you should really pay attention to the tashdeed. Sometimes you forget the tashdeed. Like in the previous ayah, you were saying, سَمَيْتُهَا, سَمَّيْتُهَا, زَكَرِيَّا. Right, Fawad? Okay. Silence means yes. It's okay. So, كُلَّمَا دَخَلَ, خَا has a heavy sound. عَلَيْهَا زَكَرِيَّا الْمِحْرَابَ, رَا has a heavy sound. وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا, عِنْدَهَا, hide the sound. إِخْفَى. رِزْقًا. If you stop here,
rizqa,
rizqa, tanween fatha changes to alif mad.
Yes.
Qala ya maryamu, heavy sound. Anna, nun mushaddad. Laki hadha. Yeah, if you stop here, hadha, stretch the sound a bit. Sila tells you it's better to continue. You continue. Qalat huwa min indillah. Min, in, min, nun sakin. Clearly pronounce it.
Idhar.
Min. This one, ikhfa. Yeah. Idhar, then ikhfa.
Yeah.
You remember I told you, like, you produce a light sound with the letter lam if there is a kasra sound before.
Yeah.
Yes. Not indillah. No. It's like bismillah. A'udhu billah. Fillah. Yeah? So, here, and the next rule was if you have a fatha or a dhamma sound, you produce the lam sound. You produce a heavy sound with the letter lam. Allah, wallahu, innallaha, right? Like here we have, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُ مَن يَشَاءُ مَن يَشَاءُ
إِدْغَام
مِرَّة sound إِدْغَام with غُنَّة nasal sound
yes with
يَشَاءُ بِ the mad is wajib right mad حرف yes. المد and حمزة
and the same word
يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ قَلْقَلَة
قَلْقَلَة when you
stop حِسَاب that's all. Inshallah, I hope you have noted all the tajweed rules we mentioned here. Time and again, listen to the audio. Inshallah, you will be perfect in tajweed. Thank you so much, Fawad, Hassan, and Ali Nasser for being with us in this session. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for listening to IRIB English Radio. We really recommend you stay with us in the coming sessions, inshallah. Every day, the same time, we'll be here at your service with Quranic sessions. So, thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Sevier International Schools Network for cooperations. We'll continue our class, inshallah, in the coming sessions with the rest of the ayat of Surah Ali Imran. And inshallah, we'll continue till the end of the Quranic Kareem. See you. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us the sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
Light of Allah, you are a true God.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome. You're listening to The Last Savior. I'm your host, Zainab Askari. Well, Allah's light on this earth has been in the form of the prophets, the imams, and sometimes the non-believers have made many, many efforts to extinguish this light or also the friends of imams or the friends of prophets, for those who try to be among the army of imams. And we have one such personality in the time of Imam Zama Jallaha Tala Faraja, who is called Nafs-e Zakiya. And who are after his life? Who is he and why he will be martyred? We're going to talk all with guest speaker, who is Dr. Murtaza Karimi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Now, since we had some of the narrations that we discussed in the previous episodes that said that he would be killed in a prohibited place, and which was Masjid al-Haram, do we have authentic narrations supporting the claim, or are there some narrations which also talk about some other places? So where will be Nafs-e Zakiya killed?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There are a number of the narrations referring to the fact that according to some narrations, he is killed in the city of Mecca. And according to some other narrations, he is killed between Rukn and Maqam. And of course, there is no contradiction between these two groups of the narrations because Rukn and Maqam are around Kaaba. So because of the number of the narrations in this regard, Although some of them might not be authentic, but the number of the narrations is telling us that there is no doubt about the fact that Nafs Zakiyya will be killed in the city of Mecca and around Kaaba between Rukn and Maqam. Now, the narrations which refer to the fact that he is killed in the city of Mecca are the following. I would share some of them. One of them is the narration from Imam Halil al-Salam, which I have mentioned twice before, I think, that Imam calls him Nafsun Haram. He is, a respected man who is killed in a respected
place. Who's killing
day.
Is prohibited.
Yeah, exactly, on a respected place. So Baladun Haram in this narration is referring to the city of Mecca. Also, Ammar, in the narration that I shared in the previous session, is talking about the fact that Nafs Zakiyya, and according to him, his brother will be killed in Mecca. This is in Al-Ghiba by Sheikh Tusi, page 474, hadith number 471. And then there are some narrations which specifically talk about a certain place between Rukn and Maqam. In one narration, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam talks about the certain signs for the reappearance of the Imam, like khuruj of the uprising of Sufyani from Sham and Yamani from Yemen, Khasf Baida, and the murder of a person from the progeny of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, Bayn al-Rukn wal-Maqam, between Rukn and Maqam. This is in Kamaluddin, chapter 32, hadith, page 330, hadith number 16. Also, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is quoted as saying, when he talks about the signs for the reappearance of the Imam, he talks about Sufyani, Yamani, Khasf Baida, and the murder of Nafs Zakiyya bayn al-Rukn wal-Maqam. And the Imam says that laqabuhu an-Nafs Zakiyya. His title is an-Nafs Zakiyya. فَعِنْدَ ذَلِكَ خُرُوجُ قَائِمِنَا. At that time, al-Qa'im, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, will begin his uprising. This right. is in Mukhtasar Ithbat al-Raj'a, page 216, hadith number 18.
All right, so far we have some of the narrations which say that it will be in the city of Mecca and between a specific place, between Rukn and Maqam, described differently in different narrations. We'll discuss more on this after a short break, dear listeners. Stay tuned.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand year old
Welcome back. You're listening to The Last Savior, and we have Dr. Karimi with us. We are talking about the certain signs of reappearance, talking about the martyrdom of Nafs Zakiyya, like which place his martyrdom is going to take place.
Let me share, few narrations in this regard as well. In one narration, Imam Ali alayhi salam says that, talking about the signs for the reappearance of the Imam, he says that there are signs for it. One of them is والمذبوح بين الركن والمقام. He talks about a person who will be killed between Rukn and Maqam, of course referring to Nafs Zakiyya. The narration of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, quoting from Salman, the companion of the Prophet, in which he also talks about a pure person who will be killed, تضريح دمه بين الركن والمقام, between Rukn and Maqam. So there is no doubt about the fact that, the place of the killing of Nafs Zakiyya is
Mecca.
And according to the other narrations, he will be killed between Rukn and Maqam. So there is no doubt about the place of his martyrdom.
Okay. Well, Dr. Karimi, there are some contemporary researchers who say that there was already the existence of Nafs-e Zakiya in the time of Abbasid Caliphate Mansur, and he has already been killed, so we should not be waiting for him as a sign of reappearance to come and being murdered. So what do you say about that?
Okay, thank you for raising this very important question. We know that at the time of Mansur, the Abbasid Caliph, we have an uprising of one of the offsprings of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam. His complete name is Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Hassan bin Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, and he became known as Nafs-e Zakiya. Of course, one theory is that his supporters try to call him Nafs-e Zakiya somehow to say that he is the promised Nafs-e Zakiya, to try to attract the support of the people. Now, one theory here is that Nafs-e Zakiya, which is mentioned in the narrations, is referring to that Nafs-e Zakiya who had a kind of uprising at the time of the Mansur, the Abbasid Caliph, and he was killed, which means that so we shouldn't wait for another Nafs-e Zakiya to come before the uprising of the Imam, because he's already killed. And it's not problematic that there is a gap between his killing and the reappearance of the Imam. Because in other narrations, we have, for example, the ending of Abbasid Caliphate as one of the signs for the reappearance of the Imam. We said that some of the signs happened before and centuries before the reappearance of the Imam. But it seemed that this idea is rejected because of, a couple of evidence in the narrations. First of all, we just proved that Nafs-e Zakiya is going to be killed in Mecca and between Ruk and Maqam. But this Muhammad bin Abdullah was killed in a place called Ahjar al-Zayt in Medina. He cannot be the promised.
All right, it cannot be Nafs-e Zakiya, and we'll discuss more after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us. Welcome back. You're listening to The Last Savior. We have Dr. Karimi with us. Dr. Karimi, you are clearing a doubt that we have in narrations that one of the certain signs of reappearance is the murder of Nafs-e Zakiya. But here we have some of the contemporary researchers who say that Nafs-e Zakiya has already appeared and he was killed in the Abbasid Caliphate time, in the time of Mansur, and so we should not be waiting for him as a sign. But you are discussing some of the narrations which reject the claim.
Yeah. So the first point rejecting that was the place of martyrdom of Nafs-e Zakiya, which is the city of Mecca. But this Muhammad bin Abdullah was killed in the city of Medina. The second point is that there are some narrations from the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt about Nafs-e Zakiya, and these imams lived after the killing of that Muhammad bin Abdullah, which means that now these imams, after this incident, are guiding the Shia and telling them that one of the signs for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is the killing of Nafs-e Zakiya. So when we have some narrations from the imams of the Ahlul Bayt after that incident at the time of Mansur, the Abbasid Caliph, it shows that he cannot be the promised Nafs-e Zakiya.
Okay.
The third point is that for Nafs-e Zakiya, we said in one of the previous sessions that we are talking about a very pure person and spiritually grown, a very significant and important
personality,
person.
Yeah.
But the point about this Muhammad bin Abdullah is that at least he made some major mistakes. For example, according to some historical accounts, he claimed even to be the promised Mahdi. And that is why, according to some people, he tries to name himself as Muhammad bin Abdullah, because this is the name of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, Muhammad. And some people believe that his father's name is Abdullah, according to some Sunni narrations. And so when we read the narration of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam about نفس الزكية. We cannot accept that Muhammad bin Abdullah with all these major mistakes at least.
Yeah, because he's called a Zakiya.
Exactly.
In the narrations.
He cannot be Zakiya.
And also some of the narrations, although weak, they were, when talking about his name, he was named as Muhammad ibn Hassan,
exactly,
not Muhammad ibn Abdullah. So even
exactly,
if referring to these weak narrations,
mm-hmm,
we can say that he is not the Nafs-e Zakiya.
That's true. And the next point is that when we are discussing about the time between the murder of Nafs-e Zakiya and the uprising of the Imam, we come to this conclusion that according to the many narrations, there is no gap of time. And according to some narrations, it is only 15 nights.
Yeah.
And now centuries have passed from that incident and Imam has not appeared yet.
So again,
we can say that for sure Nafs-e Zakiya is not that Muhammad bin Abdullah. And this is one of the definite signs for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, and for which we need to wait for the future. And inshallah, we will see that.
Inshallah.
So with this, we bring our discussion regarding Nafs-e Zakiya to its end. As I mentioned, we are talking about the different signs for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Already we have talked about three signs, the uprising of Yamani, that of Sufyani, and Khasf-e Bayda. And the fourth one that we began talking, and alhamdulillah today we finished the discussion, is about the murder of Nafs-e Zakiya. The number of the narrations about Nafs-e Zakiya is not as the number of the narrations about, for example, Sufyani or Yamani. But for sure, he is one of the definite signs for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, because he is considered as one of the mahtum signs,
yeah,
for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Nafs-e Zakiya is the most famous title for him. We cannot be sure about his name. The place of his martyrdom is the city of Mecca between Rok and Maqam. And the time of his martyrdom is very close to the time of the uprising of the Imam. And according
as
to some notions,
some
it is only
15
days.
15 days.
So, so far we have talked about four definite signs for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And there is only one remaining sign, definite sign, and that is the heavenly call that inshallah we'll begin discussing
in the upcoming
episodes.
Thank you so much, Dr. Karimi, for that summary and for that beautiful discussion. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Where is the rising sun? Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
This is Back to Reality.
Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for joining us in a new episode of The House of Truth, Back to Reality. Well, I am Asma. I have the privilege to be your host. And here with me, I have Brother Hassanain from India and Sister Zainab from India as well. Well, I'm so happy to have you here both. Would you please introduce yourself very much briefly?
Assalamu alaikum. I am Zainab Askari from Indian Administrative Kashmir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salamun alaikum, sisters, and salamun alaikum, everyone listening to the IRIB English Radio. I'm Hassanain from India.
So, welcome, both of you. In every single one of our lives, there are too much of experiences, too much of examples that we see wrong deed coming from the people we have trusted. And then, as we get older, we come to understand that we shouldn't, you know, I don't want to say that we shouldn't give a second chance to people who have hurt us, but let's just say we shouldn't trust someone who has hurt us once, because there is a big chance they would do that again and again. So now I would ask you this question. Would you give the one who has hurted you a second chance?
It is hard to trust in him again. Like, once you lose trust in someone, it's really hard to, you know, gain it back, yeah.
Yeah, and you, sister?
Well, I am different over here. I would look at the circumstances, why the person betrayed me.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes in those circumstances, this has happened to me.
Is before. There any circumstances that I was the reason, she betrayed me, she
or he betrayed
me? Definitely,
I was the reason. I feel like sometimes I got betrayed, but I feel like I was the reason. Sometimes you become so sensitive towards things and you show that obsession to others, they can't breathe, actually.
No, you suffocate them. You mean you suffocate
the other
people around?
You suffocate them yourself with your obsession. Mm-hmm. For example, I'm talking in terms of like you're attached to someone.
Yeah.
And then you're so sensitive as well and you're obsessed towards that person. But that person does not like obsession. That person wants to be free. And then if you're not letting that free space, if you're suffocating someone with your obsession, that person is, I am forcing that person to go and find someone else who does let you live your life freely, who does not suffocate you. And then I feel like I was betrayed. I was betrayed because of myself. So it always depends on situations. I'm not saying it's always you are the reason you get betrayed, but I often look at I analyze the thing. I got betrayed. Why I got betrayed? What was the reason? Where did the things go wrong? Was something lacking in her education, his education?
Mm-hmm.
Was something lacking in his knowledge?
So you trust them again?
Not very easily, but I won't say that I don't give a second chance.
Giving these sort of people who hurt us a second chance is usually very much difficult. And I always wonder, is there anyone who gets any good from giving these people a second chance? And then I remember the sinners, you know? Mm-hmm. We always do that to our God. He always trusts us again and again and again and again. He gives us too much of chances, and still we do that betrayal again and again. And then I say to myself, okay, if the story is like this, you have to at least look at that as an example and learn it from him and give people a second chance. And maybe a third chance, because we all are human beings, right?
We need to be really careful who we are trusting.
Yeah.
You know, who we are putting our trust in.
But there is no guarantee after all.
Yeah, there's no guarantee. And as I've mentioned, you know, it's hard for us to, you know, trust again in the so-and-so person. It means like even after, you know, as sister mentioned, just adding to her points, that, you know, of course, like when we have analyzed the situation, when we have seen all the perspectives, all the circumstances, and we reach to the conclusion that we really got betrayed.
Yeah.
Then it's hard for us to trust again.
It's finished.
Yeah, it's finished. But still it depends, like if it was a close friend, if it was someone from your family.
Yeah.
You know, if there was someone close, there's still some chances that you might trust in them again.
Yeah.
But if it was someone, you know, not really close,
and you just know them for a year or a month. Yeah.
Sometimes this thing also happens that I feel like I am betrayed, but I'm actually not betrayed. It's I feel like that. But the other person, the other party, you feel like this person has betrayed me, has not actually betrayed you. He feels like he has not betrayed you. I remember a case.
There might be some misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you see it from their perspective.
Yeah, chances.
Yeah. You might feel that you're betrayed, but you're actually not.
You don't know the whole story.
Yeah, and I was saying, but you know, I completely have a different opinion about trusting. Is that, you know, trusting many times might lead you to disappointments.
Exactly.
You know, when your trust is broken, this might disappoint you. It's a hadith al-Qudsi, actually. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when I read this hadith, my opinion completely changed. In the hadith, what I remember from the hadith is like, he says, وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي, like, by my almightiness and my majesty. Like, whoever puts their trust in someone other than me
will get betrayed.
Yeah.
I will make them hopeless.
Yeah.
Whoever puts their hope in someone rather than me, I'll make them hopeless. Allah is saying this.
Indeed, yeah.
Because they have to come, at the end of the day, they have to come to this conclusion that the only one you can trust is Allah.
It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, because...
And unfortunately, we betray Allah.
Yeah, Allah. Unfortunately, we do that as well. So I can hear the break is right now. So let's go for break and then we'll be back. This is IRB English Radio, back to reality. We are talking about trust and betrayal and the thing that happens in life maybe every single day. It doesn't have to be so massive. Sometimes in small things also make us feel like we shouldn't trust people. And yet, as human beings, we have to have trust in others, right? Because I guess that's the way we live.
Still, you need to be careful. Like, as I mentioned in the hadith, that you shouldn't completely trust in someone, that any time the opposite can happen.
Exactly.
You know, I feel that, you know, these few terms are related with each other, like trust and expectations.
Yeah.
And having hopes.
Expectations.
You know, trust leads you to having expectations.
Yeah.
And expectations leads you to disappointments.
Mm-hmm.
Because when expectations are not fulfilled, they lead you to disappointments.
Exactly.
You know, if you go to a restaurant, you buy food and you don't know who the chef is, who the cook is. But you buy the food and you still eat it.
You trust them and you eat
you trust it. Like, if you don't trust them, there might be poison in them.
Yeah.
So you cannot eat it, right? So there need to be some amount of trust.
You must be fluctuating always between a trust and a distrust.
Yeah, so you apparently trust people.
Yeah.
I get reminded of this Kashmiri line.
Mm-hmm.
Sir, the secret should be told to the one you know, not to the one you don't know at all.
Beautiful.
So what the poet means in the further lines is God. It says that you have only known God, mm-hmm. who has never betrayed anyone. And all the people around you never know what's going on in their minds. So you don't know them, basically. Even if you know them, but you don't know them. Because mm-hmm. you never know. Can you read minds?
No, of course. But I wish I could.
So again, we should trust only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Again.
Yeah. So there's hadith.
We get back to reality that trust should be put only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
We can relate a hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen with this quote. Keep some secrets to yourself.
Yeah.
Even if he is your best friend. Just do not reveal everything.
Every single
thing. Just don't expose your whole self.
Mm-hmm.
Because why? There are chances that someday he might not be your friend.
They would turn against you.
Yeah, they would turn against you. So what does it mean?
And then your worst enemy becomes your closest friend.
And one of the poets puts it so beautifully in Urdu. He says, I always used to talk about this beautiful person first. And then I used to introduce myself to people.
Yeah.
So she or he was always on my top list to introduce people. Like when people would ask my introduction, I would give her introduction first or his introduction first.
I put my friends first.
Which means I was very close to the person mm-hmm. and I had revealed so many things. Ban gaya rakib aakir. And in the end, that person became my rakib, became my enemy. Jo tha razda apna, the one who was my razda, who was my secret keeper.
Yeah. So now
we need to be careful over here. So this again, hadith says that, you know, he might turn against you someday. What does it mean? It means that, you know, you cannot completely trust even your best friend.
Yeah, just like blindly.
There's a red line. Everything mm-hmm. has got a red line.
You're giving weapons into the hands of someone,
exactly.
which can actually, he can take that back and shoot you tomorrow with the
killing
same
weapon, of course, not just hurting weapon.
Yeah.
You're giving them the entire thing. Yeah, so I would put it this way. From the very beginning, we shouldn't trust in order not to feel hurt in the end. because just as the brother said, expectations also are just a great deal of problem in the middle. When we start to trust people, then we have too much of expectations from them.